Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It is an honor to be joined by our next guest. You can see him on the television screen on FS1. He is the host of First Things First. Nick Wright joins us on the show today. Nick, how's it going?
Can I tell you something, Carrington?
Of course.
The man who just did traffic for you, Jay Edwards, he might not know this, but Jay Edwards might have saved my life. Did you know that?
I've never heard this story before. Something tells me it's going to be ridiculous.
Oh, do tell.
Jay Edwards, what year is it, 2021?
Sure.
12 years ago, bought me my first box of nicotine patches. And I have been wearing them ever since. And so that's, you know, he probably stopped me from smoking 50,000 cigarettes. And so, Jay, and now I recognize I'm only supposed to wear them for 6 weeks, and I've worn it for 12 and a half years. So if you see Jay Edwards, tell him thank you very much, and I owe him quite a bit.
So I actually have a Jay Edwards story, too. He did not save my life. So one time, Sean and I were in the car, and I said, hey, Jay Edwards, he is going to have a different name. So we were listening to 103, and I said, I promise you, he is going to have a different name than Jay Edwards.
You're betraying state secrets. What are you doing?
I'm the only one that noticed this?
I told you you're the only one that noticed this.
I'm the only one that noticed this, Nick. I'm the only one that notices that his name is different on 19 different stations. I don't have 19 different names. I'm Carrington all the time.
Yeah, but you're only on, oh, my God. You're getting called into an office. Jeez, you shouldn't have done that. Yeah, that's like an obvious. I should have taught you that when you were my intern. That you can't out the traffic guys like as that they moonlight on multiple stations. You want radio, terrestrial radio, to sound big and huge, and we got men on the ground everywhere. Not one man on the ground in person. Oh my God! Let's talk football.
Right now, we're talking to Nick Wright of FS1. Sometimes the text line is really funny, and they say good things. Somebody called Baker Mayfield, Alex Smith with Hulu. Would you agree with that?
No. That is funny. I think Baker's really good.
Really good at what?
I think Baker. What do you mean, really good at what? What do you mean, football? He's like acting as well, but I assume we're talking about football.
I think he is like the 14th best quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, I would go a little bit higher, but listen, when he doesn't turn the ball over, he's a top 10 quarterback, and the thing is, you can be like, oh, that's the same with everyone, except Baker's only turned the ball over once in the last 3 months. Like, only thrown one pick in the last 3 months. Like, that's got to matter. And what they did last week with no coach, no secondary, like, to me is pretty impressive. So, like, I think Baker Mayfield, do I think he's a superstar? No. Do I think the Browns can beat the Chiefs? Of course not. But, listen, I'm pro Baker Mayfield. I think Baker Mayfield is, I think people have already written the story of that draft class, and they've all just decided Josh Allen is the best quarterback of that draft class. And I think in 3 years, we might say Josh Allen is the third best quarterback of that draft class.
Nick, because here's why. Maybe it's because I got fooled with Jared Goff. To me, Baker seems like somebody who is performing at a really high level when everything is ideal on his rookie contract. They can run the ball really effectively. You got Jarvis Landry. You got Austin Hooper, David Njoku. They have all the offensive weapons in the world. Cleveland is then going to pay Baker Mayfield off of having a good season this year. And then once the parts start to diminish from the team, he seems like a guy who is going to, revert back to what he was.
Yeah. So I guess my issue with that would be a few things. One is I don't think they have great pass catchers. If your number one receiver is Jarvis Landry, you have like the 17th best number one in the NFL. And now that Odell's like, there's a reason they traded for Odell. By the way, Odell to Kansas City this offseason. You heard it here first. I have no insight on that, but that's what should happen. Sammy Watkins comes off the books. Go ahead. So this could trade the 32nd pick for Odell. It'll be great. It's the Randy Moss career arc. So I don't think he has great pass catchers on his team. And Jared Goff didn't win a Heisman. Jared Goff wasn't the single at the time most efficient passer in the history of college football. So, like, I've seen a higher ceiling from Baker throughout his career. And so I disagree with that take. But maybe I'll be wrong, but I think Baker is far better than Goff.
So, not great pass catchers, Nick, but we would all agree he's got a couple of great running backs. Do you think if Kareem Hunt had never found himself in trouble here in Kansas City that we'd be talking about the Chiefs going for a third Super Bowl this year?
Well, I mean, that's a very interesting question. So would they have won the Super Bowl 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Probably, but I have a controversial opinion related to that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a multi-layered controversial opinion. But one of them is, I believe if D Ford hadn't been offsides and they won that Super Bowl, I don't think they'd have won it last year. I think that whatever sense of the moment that existed when they were down 24-0 to Houston would not have been there if you were the defending Super Bowl champions. So, like, I think the Chiefs have the correct amount of Super Bowls over the last 2 years. I also think that if the Chiefs hadn't cut Kareem Hunt after that video, they would have had to cut Tyreek Hill after what happened the previous summer, or the following summer, I should say, rightly or wrongly. And so I think from a purely, let's just remove all of the off-the-field stuff and real-life stuff from it. From a purely football perspective, if you had to lose one of those guys, they obviously lost the more replaceable one.
If we're going to go down the controversial road, then I'll just ask you straight up, why do you think Eric Bieniemy, Nick, doesn't have a head coaching job right now?
I think that a lot of people don't think black people are smart. And so, they don't want to trust a black person as a football genius. Like, as a motivator, sure. As a defensive guru, maybe. But, you're going to, teach my quarterback? I don't know. I mean, there's no other explanation. And, Nick, are you saying the teams are racist? I'm saying everything is racist. Hey, welcome back to 610 Sports. I just think there's, structural, institutional racism in every industry in the country. So, of course, football is not immune to that. And this whole, the Chiefs are too good, and that's the problem. Or Andy Reid's coaching tree. What do you mean Andy Reid's coaching tree? I think Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl. Matt Nagy's been to the playoffs twice with Mitch Trubisky as his quarterback. Now I don't think Nagy's great, and I don't think Doug Peterson's great. But it's not like the coaching tree is poisonous. And listen, the fact of the matter is this. And once everyone's done talking, if Eric Bieniemy looked like Cliff Kingsbury, he'd have been had a head coaching job. He just would have. Does that mean any individual team that doesn't hire him is racist? Of course not. But that's just what it is. And this is one of those things where I will listen to people who disagree, but I will listen to them knowing they're wrong. Like, one of the benefits to this opinion is I'm correct. So I'm not really concerned if it bothers people. And by the way, he might get a job. I'm not certain he won't get a head coaching job. I am certain that Ian Rappaport report or tweet, whatever you want to call it, from a few days ago, that what's Franz Kafka, Mike Kafka, what's the Kafka? One of them wrote
Mike.
The other one's the Chiefs quarterback coach. That he might be a hotter head coaching candidate the fact that you could even sum out that tweet to me is all the evidence that we need that, come on now, we know there's an issue as far as who the NFL teams want to trust their precious quarterbacks to.
Right now we're talking to Nick Wright of FS1. I fought for years to get him on here. Something tells me he might not be on here again after what he just said. So, Nick, let's get everybody back on your side. So Sean and I argued about this over the course of the regular season because Sean's point is that the gap between the Chiefs and everybody else is so large that this team just largely coasted through the regular season and point differential didn't matter. I watched your show, I believe it was a couple of days ago, and you spoke to this fallacy about point differential. For people that missed it, why do you think the last 2 months of Kansas City playing these close games didn't matter?
Because they weren't close games. They were up 10 points on New Orleans with 2 minutes left. They were up 10 points on Tampa with 6 or 7 minutes left. They were up 13 points on Buffalo in the fourth quarter. Like, the fact that teams score garbage time touchdowns, the only people that should matter to are the people such as myself who kept betting on the Chiefs and kept getting backdoor cover.
Oh, man.
Like, what about the Dolphins game, how Mahomes looked? The Dolphins game where they scored 30 consecutive points despite Mahomes having one of the worst games of his career? Or what about the Falcons game? The Falcons game when the Chiefs had already locked, they could have gone 0-2 and they were 96% to be the one seed. They had locked up the one seed. Like, no, there is a very 2018 Golden State Warriors feel to this team that whenever it needed to rise to the occasion, it did. They played four playoff teams all on the road. They beat all of them, and none of those teams. In fact, I'm going to tell you this real quick. I'm going to do this on television tomorrow, but I'll give it to you guys first. I just got to pull up the text because I texted myself the stat. I've got it right here. Okay. So the last time the Ravens had the ball with a chance to tie or take the lead, second quarter, 11 minutes left. The Bills, third quarter, 10 minutes left. The Buccaneers, first quarter, 8 minutes left. The Saints, third quarter, 4.5 minutes left. So don't tell me they almost lost when not a single one of those teams ever had the ball with a chance to take the lead after midway through the third quarter. It's just nonsense.
So, Nick, I imagine all of us are on the same side about Kansas City really dominating Cleveland. I don't think that defensively Cleveland can do enough to keep up. They can certainly score, but I just don't trust in a game that I think is going to be played in the 30s and possibly the 40s that Cleveland's going to be able to keep up. If Cleveland pulls out this upset, tell me how they do it.
Oh, Myles Garrett has a strip sack. Mahomes throws one really bad ball that's picked. There's also a tipped ball interception. They're going to have to be plus three in the turnover margin or plus two and score a special teams touchdown. That's the only way. Cleveland won their Super Bowl last week, and I'm happy for them. I bet on them. I've been rooting for Cleveland all year. I like Baker, but this road comes to an end. Like, of all the AFC teams, the one the Chiefs wanted more than any of them this round was Cleveland. And they got him. It's incredibly fortunate. Now, let me ask you guys a question. From a pure Chiefs perspective, who are you guys rooting for in Baltimore-Buffalo?
I would say Baltimore, because to me, Baltimore and on defense, how they get pressure is through blitzing. And Mahomes might be the best quarterback in the history of the league when blitzed. I just don't really know if defensively Baltimore has the right pieces, right structure, right scheme to stop Mahomes. So I would say they want to play Baltimore in the next round.
Yeah, give me Baltimore too. I mean, I've seen it once, I've seen it twice, I've seen it three times. Until Lamar Jackson can get on the same football field with Patrick Mahomes and beat him, I don't think he can do it.
All right, so this is where we disagree. Baltimore is, to me, the scariest team. I would so much rather play Buffalo for a number of reasons. One is I actually don't like the fact that Lamar's never beaten the Chiefs. I'd rather they be 2-1 than 3-0. It feels like, man, at some point they're going to beat you. Second of all, if Baltimore wins, you are going to be, you know, the Lamar Jackson playoff, monkey on his back. It's going to be two games removed. And the way Lamar beat the Titans, making Carrington look just like such a clown, retweeting himself like, oh, here's Aaron. What was that, Aaron Brooks you put out there? Playoff Lamar. And then he stuck 20 straight points right up here. Like, come on. And so, like, then if they do that and then beat Buffalo, Baltimore scares me a hell of a lot more than Buffalo does. And I think so. I don't think either game will be an easy game, but I think Baltimore, there's more upside there than with Buffalo, especially with how they're playing right now.
I got a loaded question for you here, Nick, and I've been meaning to ask you this for the last couple of years. So Cleveland's favorite son is obviously LeBron James, which you might actually love more than your own actual son. Just out of curiosity, when it's all said and done, right, when the career is over with, who do you think's career is more impressive, LeBron James or one Patrick Mahomes?
Well, LeBron's the greatest team sport athlete in the history of the world, so that's going to be a tough bar to clear. I think LeBron is – I think it's LeBron. I think Mahomes has a real shot at being the greatest quarterback ever. But I think that there is too much to the LeBron story. Like, it just makes too much sense. Like, there's a reason his games were on ESPN at 16 and he was the number one pick and he's, you know, been the most talked about athlete for 15 straight years. Like, if that's the story of the guy who's supposed to be the greatest athlete ever, I do think that Mahomes is going to continue to totally rewrite the NFL record books. And I don't know. Let me ask you guys, when you guys talk to Mahomes every Monday, what percent of it is just quarterback media speak? And what percent do you guys get like a real raw Patrick Mahomes, like any real raw Patrick Mahomes, or is he all corporate?
Funny brings this up, huh? We were just talking about this with the boss yesterday, huh, C-Dot?
I think that it is probably 92% PR agent speak, 8% real.
Okay, so here's something about Mahomes, and you occasionally see it on the field, and I've occasionally seen it, outside of media. He is, and I say this in a very complimentary way, he is wildly cocky. And, like, he knows how great he is, and I can say this from an informed place. He is, what's the word? He finds it as ludicrous as I do that there were discussions this year like, I don't know that he's the best quarterback in the league. And in fact, I think Josh Allen might have had the better year. And I think he's about to take it out on everybody. I think Mahomes' playoff run that we're about to start seeing on Sunday is going to be one for the ages. And I think the Chiefs are going to – I think they're going to score 30 points minimum in every playoff game, and I think they're going to score 35 on Sunday.
Nick, and we'll get you out of here with this to maybe give you an idea. He's probably Steph Curry. Like, you and I watch enough NBA where Steph has this, like, I'm humble, but also the most arrogant person on the court. Like, I'll just shoot from 40 and I'll dance while the ball's in the air, but everybody will think I'm humble. But when it comes to answering questions, he's probably close to, like, Russell Wilson when it comes to, like, personality.
Yeah, he's smart. That's smart, by the way. But what I do think is, if they win one more Super Bowl, if they win this Super Bowl, I should say, I think the more success he gets, the realer he can become. Because if they win this championship, he is a made man forever. Not that he isn't already, but like in the national spotlight he is for sure. And he's obviously already got the money. Like, I think that if they win this championship, you're going to see not the full-fledged, but to continue the basketball analogy, closer to late-stage Kobe Bryant, the, like, I'm going to tell you actually what I think type of thing without getting anybody in trouble. But, I mean, the guy has a spotless resume, and he's been sensational since the moment he walked into the league. And I don't mind if he wants to let people know about it. It's a shame he's going to have to do it at the expense of my guy Baker Mayfield, but such is life. I got a question before I go. Is Mitchell Schwartz done for the year? Is that just like everybody knows it and I just am late to the party?
Yeah, he is. I mean, I looking at his career, so he only has one more year left on his deal. He's 32 years old. I actually think that he's going to retire at the end of the season.
Damn. Well, then maybe they need to spend a first-round pick on an offensive lineman. I'd still trade it for Odell. That's what I would do if Sam is coming off the books. Good to talk to you guys. I don't know why you said I'm not going to come on this show again. When I talk about race, there's a good percentage of your listeners that agree with me, and the other percent of your listeners are wrong. So it's fine.
I mean, to be fair, Nick, I don't really care about the race stuff. You know me well enough to know I don't care about that. I just know you well enough to know it's not a guarantee that you're going to answer the phone next week. Like, I can see you saying, oh, well, you know, Maverick Carter called me, so I'm not going to be able to do it.
Lock it in now. Lock it in now. What time? What are we doing?
We can do next Thursday at 4:30.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Next Thursday at 4:30. I'll talk to you then. Sean, I want you, if I don't answer Terrence's text reminding me, Sean, you text me because I might have Terrence and Bluff. But I'll answer the call when 610 Sports calls, that's for sure. I'll talk to you guys then.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.